all these movies from the 80s that are supposed to be like classics, like to me, very few of them hold up.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Do most things in general from the 80s hold up? I mean, the movie sucked, the music sucked, the clothing sucked. I mean, I don't know what really holds up from the 80s.
Magic Johnson.
I guess.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
The basketball legacy holds up.
I was going to say, because that's kind of a issue.
But he's holding up fine, too.
On 1340 WKGN.
Growing up, I was always terrified of AIDS. These scientists and medical people, they've really done a lot for AIDS, I think. Because Magic, I mean, he's been kind of the poster boy for AIDS, but he's made it.
Off hour three in the Mountain View Chevy Studios. Let's go straight to some hour three headlines.
Thanks, John. A report indicates that Shea Patterson will be ruled eligible. Get the damn seat, Dave. Sorry, Dave is in here. Shea Patterson's going to be ruled eligible for the 2018 season officially. Former Ole Miss quarterback Patterson eligible to play for Michigan, of course, as he transferred. According to a report from the Wolverines, Chris Ballas, I guess the Wolverine is the newspaper up there, Patterson has argued that while he was being recruited and playing at Ole Miss, he was misled by Hugh Freeze, blah, blah, blah. We know about all that. Basically, the headline here is that he's officially cleared to play for Michigan. So, good for Shea Patterson. Jimbo Fisher had a quote yesterday I thought was kind of interesting as I was just sifting through some things. He said, "I've never taken a job for money in my life." I guess he was asked for some reason about the transition from FSU to A&M. He said, "It's about opportunity and where things are going and where the game is going and where you can be successful and where you can make your mark as far as affecting young kids' lives. Never taken a job for money in my life." Do you buy that?
So he just wanted to go to Texas A&M?
Yeah, apparently. He just saw that as a place where he could affect kids' lives.
Okay, Jimbo.
Self-righteous.
Okay, Jimbo.
Yeah. Wayne Gretzky, he's a former hockey player.
Can you imagine having the nerve to say that if you're Jimbo Fisher?
After signing a deal for, what was it, $75 million? Right? 10 years, $75 million?
Yeah.
You catch some breaking news or something?
No. I was trying to think about what you were saying.
Oh, you seem distracted. Wayne Gretzky.
Well, I mean, I was trying to download this app so I could fire up this wrestling. So, yeah, I was a little distracted.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the
This week has been distracted. Yeah, you've been the one on top of things. It's not a good week for me.
Well, I was horrible. I think it's the worst radio I've ever done Tuesday and Wednesday because of my cold.
That's true. I did carry the show on Tuesday and Wednesday, so I had to – I guess
you've just been zoned out the last 2 days.
Yeah, once you started getting healthy, I decided that I would take a break.
Yeah,
that's my bad.
Yeah, well, we gotta help each other out.
I'm still kind of arguing with idiots about this Casey Clawson thing.
Yeah, hopefully it'll subside soon.
I can't stop. Yeah. I'm like a dog that you just keep putting food in front of, and I just keep eating it. I can't stop.
That's how you keep your attention. Just keep saying something that'll make you angry. And
I am like the raccoon who puts his hand
Rocky Raccoon
who puts his hand in the butter jar.
Mm-hmm.
And like raccoons won't let go, and neither will I just keep holding on and keep holding on. That's the thing. Like, that's how you catch a raccoon. You put them something nice in a trap, they'll grab it and they won't let go
no matter what.
They just won't let go. That's how I am. I just won't let go to this argument.
If only possums were the same way. Got the possum. Wayne Gretzky, he is a former hockey player. He bought a $13.5 million mansion that he once sold to Lenny Dykstra. He bought it back from him. The NHL Hall of Famer rebought the Thousand Oaks mansion he once sold to former MLB player Lenny Dykstra, according to the LA Times. Gretzky paid $13.5 million to reacquire the mansion, which he sold to Dykstra in 2007 for $18.5
million. Hey!
Dykstra lost the property due to foreclosure after he had to declare bankruptcy. Inside, stately crown molding and Venetian plaster walls accent spaces such as the living room, formal dining area, and chef's kitchen. Other common areas include a theater room, a gym, an office, 6 bedrooms, and 8 bathrooms. A second-story terrace takes in views of the Santa Monica Mountains. Pretty nice description there. So, Gretzky getting his place back. Apparently, it's also got a lighted and fenced tennis court, outdoor kitchen, covered patio, pool, spa, rose garden, and 2 guest houses. It's basically like its own little city, sounds like.
That's a pretty smart thing. Like, you save five, you make $5 million,
yeah,
and you get your house back. You know, when it came to, if it comes to Lenny Dykstra versus Wayne Gretzky in a battle of wits, like, I always would have figured Wayne Gretzky would have got the best of him.
Well, he did. Amazon has renewed Thursday NFL streaming package in a deal reportedly worth $130 million. Amazon will be paying a lot of money to stream Thursday night NFL games for the next 2 years. Amazon watched their quarterly profits double in the latest earnings announcement. They've decided to use some of that extra money to acquire the NFL's Thursday night rights in a deal that did not come cheap. They announced on Thursday the two sides have signed off on a deal that will allow Amazon to stream Thursday night football game for the next 2 seasons. The 2-year deal, as I said, worth roughly about $130 million, meaning that Amazon will pay approximately $65 million per season.
You're getting started with Triple H versus John Cena. One of the big matches kicking off this thing. Triple H coming down with his vest and water right now as we speak.
So it's starting up right now, huh?
Firing up right now.
Two local Knoxville radio hosts will battle today at approximately 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time in a battle of online video game proportions of NCAA 14. John Reed and Cody McClure will battle head-to-head on the game for the first time ever. It will be streamed live on Periscope.
Are you nervous?
No.
Are you going to be embarrassed if I cover the spread?
The only way I'd be embarrassed is if you beat me.
What if it's close? What if it's close in the fourth quarter? Would you be embarrassed if it was close in the fourth quarter?
Yes.
Within 10?
Yes.
What about within 3 touchdowns? 21? I haven't played this game in over a decade.
You've never played this game, right?
I've never played this game.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be close.
And I quit playing college football because it kept kind of shifting a little bit. Like every edition became less and less something I enjoyed.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the spread. You might cover it. I don't know. I don't know how you are going to be. I don't know how you play. I mean, I don't know.
As he sips his drink.
I feel like I'll be able to overwhelm you with my powerful offense.
That'll be really embarrassing. I'll be so embarrassed if I get beat by 60-something points.
I am ranked number 152 in the world right now. And that's among thousands. I know it doesn't sound that impressive, but there's still like 10,000 people that play the game.
Ben Lee once made this mistake, and it was what, 21?
Yeah.
It was 14 to maybe zero. I'm pretty sure I had the ball on the 10-yard. John came over. I'm trying to find
ben,
I'm trying
I don't,
to be a gracious
ben,
host. I'm trying to be a gracious host.
Ben, cut your mic off.
Trying to find people
ben,
stuff to drink.
Ben, you know the rules. Cut the mic off. You were on the 10-yard line about to score. That's all I'm saying.
That is what happened. Right, you pulled.
It was Ben Lee on the 10-yard line about to
score.
Well,
I was about to score.
Ben?
Mic? Cord out. look, I had been drinking heavily, too, that night. So, like, I was pretty lit when we were playing, and my defense was still stifling. Still stifled poor Ben. We can play again later this afternoon if you want. See if you can. All right. The big story. You have any headlines you'd like me to?
No, I'm good.
All right. The big story. The one that I thought you'd be very interested in.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
From the Washington Times. Old school AM and FM radio is the most popular media of all media, according to Nielsen.
Okay, Nielsen!
With 243 million listeners, radio reaches 93% of the U.S. population. even in the age of sophisticated cable TV, video on demand, all that kind of stuff, it's still old school AM/FM radio, which rules the media world, according to Nielsen's audience numbers. 243 million monthly listeners. Each week, more Americans tune to radio than any other platform. What's more, according to Nielsen's metrics report, 93% of U.S. adults 18 and older listen to radio every week, more than those who watch TV or use a smartphone, TV-connected device, tablet, or PC. In comparison, TV reaches about 88% of Americans and has 229 million viewers. Would you have thought that? That our platform was still that popular 100 years later?
Yes and no. I think we overstate technology a little bit. Like, I still think people like riding around in their cars listening to radio. Like, yeah. I think it'll dwindle a little bit, you know, as you know, more and more cars are able to adapt, I guess, and, you know, there'll be Wi-Fi in the cars and stuff like that and all that. But, like, right now, a lot of people I know still listen to, you know, AM, FM radio. AM, you know, if you're only listening to AM radio for the most part if you're seeking something out, like us,
right,
for the most part. Like, I don't know many people who are cruising around hitting
checking the dial.
Right, checking the dial on the AM dial. But on the FM, I still think people like to be able to listen to something, get some news, hit next, go to a different station, try different types of music.
Yeah.
Not everyone wants to listen to CDs, and everyone can plug up their phone and, like, stream through there. Like, they're still...
And even if you do, I think sometimes you want that just surprise element. Like, you want to tune it to your favorite kind, if it's your rock station or whatever, and you're like, give me something, you know, shuffle it around for me.
Sure. But I'm not doing that. Like, I never listen to the radio unless I'm seeking out sports talk on this station, or that's pretty much it. Like, I never listen to the FM dial in my car. Like, I really don't. Like, I don't listen to anything on the FM dial. I mean, really, you could get rid of the FM dial and I wouldn't care. I'm AM for life.
I tune it over
1340,
to,
love it.
I tune it over to the rock station here in town every now and then.
See, I pay for XM, which I might not should admit. Really terrible deal. You should never buy XM radio. Never do that. Like, it's a waste of money.
Wow.
It's a waste of money. It's really stupid.
Killing our industry.
No, but I like to have it for the, because quite frankly, I like to listen to hip-hop channels.
Mm-hmm.
I like to listen to interviews. I have my other preferences when it does come to sports radio, like in the evenings especially, like once the evenings, weekends. I like to have the option of listening to games on the TV, or excuse me, on the radio.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, like, I mean, if I wasn't only paying, you know, a decent, you know, if it wasn't basically free, I probably wouldn't pay for it. But otherwise, I would listen to podcasts. I do think there's going to be a big shift towards just podcasts. Like,
well, yeah. That's definitely changing the industry.
I would say our podcast audience probably is different than our radio. I would say there aren't very many people who listen to both.
But we're still based, like, as a radio station. You know, like,
right.
We're kind of ahead of the game, I think, as far as digitally, as opposed to the other station.
Oh, yeah, you know, no, we're
digitally,
we're...
podcast, live stream, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But... you know, we still are based, like, we are a radio station.
Yeah, sure.
It's the same idea.
No, what I meant by that is just I think we rate pretty well with younger people or people on the go who can't listen during the day. I would say that our podcast numbers, our podcast audience is probably drastically different than our radio audience. I don't think there's much overlap on the Venn diagram. Now, maybe there's some people who listen to the radio, and if they have to miss some or can only listen to 1 hour on the radio, they go check out the podcast. But I'm going to guess the people that listen to all 3 hours of the podcast on FoxSportsKnoxville.com and on the iTunes and Stitcher, everywhere that you can find podcasts, make sure to leave us a 5-star rating. I would say those people who go and listen there listen to all 3 hours there.
Yeah.
And listen to all 3 hours of Three and Out and all 3 hours of The Drive and both hours of Overtime. I would say most of those people are going podcast only, whereas we have other people who listen to radio only or live stream only.
Nielsen said technology trends are a bit like fashion trends. They come and go, oftentimes long forgotten after the craze ends. But there is one notable exception to the technology fashion trend rule in the media world, and it's broadcast radio. AM, FM radio is the blue blazer of the media universe. Who would have believed 100 years after its debut it would continue to do that? Pretty cool. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like when you're in school, I remember, you know, being in college and everybody would tell me, no, radio's dying. It's a dying industry, you know. And it's just not. I mean, newspapers are. They're dying out.
Sure.
But radio's not going anywhere. I like it. Nice to be on this mic.
Yeah.
Bringing you the soothing sounds of today's jazz.
You know, I didn't think that's where you were going with the story.
What do you think I was going to go with? Think some porno story or something?
Yeah, just not that. Just not that. It was a good story, though. I enjoyed it. You were right. I enjoyed it. I was caught by surprise by it.
If you had to guess, what would you have thought the story would be about? Probably either like animals or women.
Probably animals. Maybe animals mixed with women, which is always dangerous.
We always have those good stories.
Home is where the heart is.
This segment brought to you by our friends at 1038 Furniture, Bean Station, Tennessee. 1038furniture.com, 1038 Furniture on Facebook. Home furniture and decor at affordable prices. I'll keep it short. I'll keep it simple. If you are looking for furniture, you're not going to find it anywhere cheaper than 1038 Furniture. And they support the station. You love the station. You listen to us. Become patrons of our sponsors. If you're in the market for a new mattress, recliner, sectional, or just some home decor, including bookshelves.
Chairs. Trebuchets.
No trebuchets. None of those. This Cleveland radio personality, Aaron Goldhammer.
What a name.
Who looks like a really big dweeb.
Goldhammer in the afternoon.
Said that he would eat horse poop if the Browns selected Baker Mayfield.
Oh, yeah, this guy looks like a real weirdo.
Yeah, no, like this guy's a creep. For weeks, Cleveland radio host Aaron Goldhammer proclaimed he would eat horse poop if the Browns took Mayfield. He, like me, I guess thought there was no chance that this was real. Well, turns out the Browns love the Johnny Manziel types. And they thought Baker Mayfield was a better version, same swagger, no off-the-field stuff. So, you know, as we saw last night, Cleveland decided they're going to take Mayfield number one. Now he has to eat horse poop. This is like that Warbloggle guy, the Auburn writer, who proclaimed he would eat a hat if Auburn finished 11th 2 years ago, like in basketball. They were projected to finish 11th. He scoffed at the idea and said, if Auburn finishes 11th, I'll eat a hat. And they finished 11th. But he refused to eat the hat. We allowed that to slide. Like, I imagine being on the radio in Cleveland. Cleveland's fans, I don't think, are going to let this slide. Do you eat the poop if you're Aaron Goldhammer?
I think you do. I think you've got to be loyal to your audience.
Is it worth it? It's worth the national attention, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to make a proclamation like that, I mean, you got to go about it right. Like, there's got to be some build up, you know. But, I mean, because you can't really eat a hat. I understand the Warbloggle guy. Like, you can't eat a hat.
You could cut it up and put it in a smoothie. Like, that's always kind of the way around it, I think.
I don't think it would. Would it chop up?
I don't think you could eat a full hat. You could eat a piece of a hat, though. It's just cloth. Might get caught in your throat and you might suffocate. I don't know.
Well, horse poop, definitely easier to eat I think, than a hat. I think this guy, I mean, did he say, like, I mean, what are the stipulations? One bite? Is it just one bite, or does he have to eat a whole serving?
I would imagine
that's a big, I mean, that's a full meal.
That's a huge difference.
That's a full meal.
That is a huge, stinky, messy difference.
I imagine, surely it's just like one bite, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, to me, that's good enough.
Could you season it? Or, I mean, if you could do it any way you wanted.
I mean, does it matter if you season it?
You take a little bit of horse poo. Here's what you do. Listen, take a little bit of the horse poo. You drop it in some egg batter, so like some egg wash. You roll it in a bit of flour and breadcrumbs and some seasoning, some pepper, something spicy, some Parmesan, stuff like that. You know what I mean? You roll it up, and then you deep fry it. And then you dip it in some ranch.
No, you lost me with the deep fry. If you're asking
think it's
me,
it's worse if you deep fry.
Well, no. I'm just saying. I think that's cheating.
Well,
no. I think you're allowed to throw some salt and pepper on it if you need to, but you're not able to try to bake it in some other big dish or hope that it just kind of blends in with some other good stuff. It has to be on the table. I wouldn't imagine you wouldn't want a fork and a knife. You just pick it up, go down.
How fresh does it have to be? That's another big question.
Yeah, sure.
Can you get like some of the scaly poo, like from out in the? It's been there a few days. Some of that, you know, it's just almost like chips now.
I feel like you got to eat the poop if you're this guy. You said you were going to do it. You got to do it.
Well, yeah, you got to do it. I just need
and apparently
you know,
this
context.
And apparently this wasn't like a one-time declaration. This wasn't a. Yeah, I'll do it. Ha, ha, ha. Apparently, he's made this a bit for, like, weeks. He's made it a deal for weeks. Whew. Triple H just hit Cena with a pedigree. I thought it was over, but Cena kicked out. Whew, that's a close one. I feel like they should kick him off the radio if it doesn't happen. You got...
This is an important one. Jason Witten is planning to retire after 15 years and will join ESPN's new Monday Night Football broadcast team as a lead analyst.
Oh!
He will meet today with owner Jerry Jones before making the decision final, per sources. That's from Chris Mortensen.
Is lead analyst, is that the other person in the booth? Like, is he replacing John Gruden, or is he, like, going to be on the sidelines or back in the studio? Like, lead analyst, is that... That's not the same as, like, color commentary, right?
I don't think so.
But he's going to be a part of that. He's going to be a part of that team. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I think it makes sense for both people. Like, the Cowboys, from a football sense, needed to get more athletic at the tight end position. Look, I love Jason Witten. The guy's a warrior. I don't like the Cowboys. One of my favorite plays ever was when Jason Witten lost his helmet and was still running with the ball, trying to pick up more yards against, I believe, the Eagles. Like, that's one of my favorite plays. Just the image of that is awesome. I do think it was time to let it go.
Yeah.
I do think the Cowboys needed that from a salary cap standpoint and from just, like I said, an athletic standpoint.
That's cool, though. We're going to get to see Witten on Monday Night Football. I mean, I feel like he'll fit in really well there.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the look. He's a good looking, sharp dude. One of our boys, Slim Barrett, who listens to the show, is in Dallas for the draft and posted a picture with Witten, and Witten was in a suit and he looks nice, cleans up good.
Oh yes, he does.
He has the look.
Thanks to AJ for making me aware of that. With the breaking news horn. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I mean, that was a compelling story about
the
horse,
it's fun.
The horse poo.
I mean, yeah, Witten had a career low last year of, well, besides his rookie year, we only got to start 7 games. A career low of 560 yards last year. Just score 5 touchdowns, but I mean, it's been a sharp decline. I mean, guy's old. He's 35 years old. He's played, you know, what, 14, 15 years in the league.
A long time.
Great career from him. Round of applause for Jason Witten. Well done.
Thank you for your service, Jason Witten.
John
and welcome
Cena.
To the back of the scoreboard.
John Cena just beat Triple H.
All kinds of news happening right now. Anything we could power rank?
I don't know. What can we power rank? Find something, because, like, I just got linked. Shout out to my guy Droop Dog, who found a thread about why everyone hates this Aaron Goldhammer guy. So, like, he's not liked in Cleveland at all.
So he's basically like the dude in Nashville.
He's Stillman.
Stillman, yeah.
He's Stillman. They started a Reddit thread. Please explain why you don't like Aaron Goldhammer. Aaron Goldshower is the antithesis of Cleveland. He plays this little negative Nancy character and thinks it's just a shtick, but Aaron doesn't have the awareness to play that role effectively. Aaron made my blood boil with his ignorance on every single take. It came to the point where we could all see that he thought he was playing some necessary evil or voice of reason for otherwise brainwashed Cleveland fans. The thing Aaron fails to realize here is that in actuality, most Clevelanders are quite practical and intelligent sports fans. Just because the retirees, third shifters, and the invalid call in with moronic takes on the phone doesn't mean they represent what most listeners think or feel about teams. Another thing I hate about Aaron is his voice. It's shrill. And he has to constantly slurp in his saliva because he refuses to stop talking long enough to swallow like a human. The fact that Aaron is in radio and now is somehow the manager of the station because his dad is a wealthy man who has ties to the station ownership has always pissed me off. He's an entitled know-it-all who sounds spoiled and comes off as out of touch because he is out of touch. Aaron always has soft-ass takes that usually are based on something he read on ESPN.com or his Twitter feed. Goldshower can do an entire show critiquing the Browns' front office over the QB position without actually saying anything of value about the topic. I'm not done. Aaron is obnoxious. By the way, this is all the same guy. I'm not done. Aaron is obnoxious. He has no discernible ability to engage a radio audience, and this shows in his laughable interaction with audience members. Hopefully now you have some idea why we all hate Aaron Goldshower so much. He's a pompous, ignorant, talentless ass, and it's a bleeping travesty every time he represents Cleveland sports on ESPN. This is why ESPN gets no respect from most people. Well, that's one thing about him. I'm trying to look for more. Tries to sell placebo pills he's never taken. Scripts every single take he's ever had on the radio. Especially where he pretends to be angry about the direction of a Cleveland sports team. You ever script out your takes? You ever write them down?
No. I've had ideas before, like notes on something I might want to say once or twice. I mean,
yeah.
I've never actually written out a script for a...
Especially not ones when I sound angry. I've never written out a script, or I've made a note like, hey, make sure you talk about this.
Yeah.
But like when I get my angry voice going, now that's just, it's just rage and blood pressure going full speed.
I take that back. When I told the story about the nipple piercings, I did have, wasn't really a script, but I did have it written out to say, you know, to
get
make
the
sure
timeline
I,
right.
To make sure I told the whole story.
Sure, and that was important.
Yeah, it was a big story.
Has the sports knowledge and likability qualities of Ted Cruz.
Oh, wow.
So rather than question the obvious, please feel free to list the reasons why you do like Aaron Goldhammer.
Poor Golden Shower. Did you know today's National Prime Rib Day? I was trying to think of things we could power rank.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do our sandwich shops today?
Sure. We'll do our sandwich shops.
In
coming
honor of National Prime Rib Day? Does that tie in?
I don't think it ties in. But we'll power rank sandwich shops.
Or types of sandwiches. Which
no,
would you rather do?
Sandwich
shops. Sandwich shops, okay.
All right, we'll be back on the other side. Let's talk sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Life can be a little...
Download the WKGN app, powered by Hops and Hollers, and take us wherever your heart desires.
We're going streaky! Yeah! Fox Sports Knoxville. Fan Run Radio.
As I'm looking at all of these people who really want this Aaron Goldhammer guy to eat horse poop, it does raise a good point. And a tweeter did send this to me at 10 o'clock, and I forgot to mention it, but said that this one commenter says he's going to make it his life mission to make Baker Mayfield wish he never stuck the flag in the horseshoe. You think Baker's going to take any flack from that from Cleveland Browns fans who also like who also like Ohio State, which I'd imagine is a lot of them. The whole sticking the flag.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. If he comes in there and wins, he'll be beloved. Like, I mean, is the overlap between Ohio State and Browns fans? I'd say it's really big. You think so?
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland's at the top of the state. Like, so, I mean, like Cincinnati. And some might root for the Bengals, but I would say mostly they're all Browns fans.
Columbus is kind of middle of the state.
Columbus is a lot closer to Cleveland than Cincinnati, I believe.
Yeah.
Or not a lot closer, but
yeah,
closer.
Well, yeah, there's probably some overlap. I don't think it'll be that big of a deal, will it?
This one guy said he's going to make it his life mission.
Well, we'll see.
Great at Power Rank Sandwich Shops.
I've never been more ready in my life. I've got the power! The power lies on their side.
Go, go, power! Rankings! Go, go, power! Rankings! Go, go, power! Rankings! I need more than power! Rankings! Sometimes I still miss singing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you got to throw it in there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like it was better when me and you just sang it each time, but it did go.
Go, go, power rankings.
Yeah. Sandwich shops. You want to go first?
I'll go first. Number five for me is Quiznos. It was the first one. You're already disgusted. It was the first, growing up in a small town, it was the first place I discovered that wasn't Subway.
Yeah.
And that was a really nice relief.
Sure.
So it was all I had to go on, okay?
But I'm just going to say that, like, pretty quickly you realize that they're not that good.
Yeah, once you go somewhere else and you have different sandwiches, you realize they're not that good.
Right. To me, I think Quiznos is the absolute worst sandwich shop.
It's the worst one that can make a power rankings, I think.
Okay.
It's not awful. You think it's worse than Subway?
Yeah, no, 100%. Keep going with your rankings.
Okay.
Keep going with your rankings.
Quiznos at five.
I think Quiznos is trash. I think them having the worst idea ever was like, hey, let's just all take these sandwiches and you have to put them through the toaster oven.
I thought they were okay.
Okay.
Rankings. They had good soups. Number four, Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's, always good. They're open very late at night. Always a good drunk sandwich. The Italian, what is that other one? The huge one. It's got like, it's like a $10 sub. I can't remember the name of it. The gargantuan, I think. Good sandwich. I like the way they do their lettuce and onions, too. Very kind of thin. It goes well with the bread, with the meats. Good stuff. Number three, McAllister's. McAllister's a different kind of sandwich, but they still have sub sandwiches there. You're looking at me like McAllister shouldn't count.
It's you.
I told you I wouldn't count Arby's.
Yeah, you were trying to count Arby's. Sure, whatever.
Well, I would have had Arby's above Quiznos.
Count McAllister's if you want. Whatever, it's your ranking.
Great mac and cheese at McAllister's. Legendary mac and cheese. Number two, Jersey Mike's. And I'll be honest, I hadn't had Jersey Mike's until I went with you. And I think I just outed your favorite sandwich shop. So now everybody's going to know you're there on Wednesdays. So,
well, they didn't know what day.
So sorry about that. But yeah, great sandwiches. To me, Jersey Mike's is a lot like Jimmy John's, but I think the meats are fresher at Jersey Mike's.
Without a doubt.
Good sweet tea there, too. I'm a big fan of the Jersey Mike's. But number one, it's hands down, it's Firehouse. Once I discovered Firehouse subs, I mean, I just can't go back. I'd do anything for them. I go there once or twice a week, probably twice a week. The New York Steamer, Oh, man, I don't think there's a better sandwich in the world. Every now and then you change it up and get that cheddar brisket thing they've got. I mean, it's like the opposite of a healthy sandwich, but it's a very good place. And local proceeds go to help firemen. Firehouse, fantastic joint.
Number five for me, Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's gets penalized because their chips are not good. I wish they just had regular chips. Like, yeah. You're not better than Frito-Lay's, Jimmy John's. I don't need those barbecue chips that are all crinkled together that go everywhere when I bite into them. It's impossible to get good chips at Jimmy John's. I know some people like the taste. I hate the taste. Just give me a regular bag of Lay's barbecue chips. Can you do that, Jimmy John's?
Good point.
Can you do that, please? I give Jimmy John credit. They make the list because they are clutch when you are drinking, especially if you live somewhere where they'll deliver. Jimmy John's gets a little respect. The sandwiches, quite frankly, aren't that good. The best thing about the sandwiches for me are the bread. I think the bread's good. I do like the way they put it, the meat in the bread. I do think it's
that's key to a great sandwich.
Yeah, but the rest of their stuff I could do without. Number four, this might make some people mad. You might hate it. You might say it's gross, but I do give respect to Subway. Look, I know. Look, they lost a big part of the market because they were a victim of their own success. When they were doing the $5 footlongs, they were on top of the world. The song was great. Their spokesman was great. You thought you were eating healthy? Well, then he turned out to be a really big creep, and then they took the $5 footlong away. The $6 six-inch lunch combo, or I guess you get the combo anytime, isn't a bad alternative. You can get chips and a drink and a six-inch sub for $6. I still enjoy it. Number three, I go with Firehouse. Number three is Firehouse for me.
Too low.
What did you say, the steamer?
Way too low.
No, you got to go with the old hook and ladder. The hook and ladder.
Hook and ladder's fine.
No onions. That's the move to go.
No.
Every time I eat Firehouse, though, I have about a 20-minute window before I have to get back into the bathroom. So Firehouse has to get knocked down the
rankings. That's why they call it Firehouse.
For that reason. Number two for me, I don't think you had this one on your list. Witch. I love Witch.
I wasn't that impressed with Witch.
The chicken pesto sub at Witch belongs in the talks for best sub sandwich. But yes, number one for me, Jersey Mike's. Love some Jersey Mike's.
John Reed there every Wednesday afternoon, right after the show.
Basically like 1:15 every Wednesday, I'm at Jersey Mike's. It's double points day. And, you know, they give you points, and I do think that's what separates them. You don't get points at Firehouse. They just want to keep busting you in the head and getting as much money as possible.
You get a better sandwich at Firehouse.
Basically, like every four sandwiches at Jersey Mike's, you know what I get? I get a free sandwich.
Hey, it's good. It's my number two. It's not Firehouse. That New York steamer is as good as it gets, man. I'm telling you. Witch, is that national? They're just local, aren't they?
It's national.
Is it national?
Yeah, it's a chain. It's a chain. I don't know if it's national, but it's there's
at least
it's not Knoxville,
at least
right?
Regional.
Yeah. I want to say it's even, I want to say it's more West Coast, but I'm completely making that up.
Yeah.
The chicken pesto. Oh, man, it's good.
Never had the chicken pesto.
Chicken pesto is fantastic. But Jersey Mike's is the GOAT.
Well, we had three of the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have, like, if you do a sub sandwich power ranking, you're going to have Firehouse, Jersey Mike's, and Jimmy John's.
Sure.
There's no way to
avoid
them.
No one wanted to put Lenny's on the list. Lenny sucks.
Oh, I forgot about Lenny's.
I don't like Lenny's.
That's probably a good reason I forgot about him.
I think you're sleeping on Subway. You're just fatigued. It's Subway fatigue.
I mean, Subway, for its convenience, and I don't know, man. Every time you go in there, it smells like every Subway you walk into smells like liquid.
Sure.
You walk in, you're expecting the good smell, and it's Dawn soap.
Sure.
Smells like a dishwasher in there.
You know, we're getting a lot of submissions for local places. We were just doing national chains, but I am going to bookmark your suggestions. Steamboat, says Jody. BJ, what's BJ say? Somewhere in Maryville.
If we could get a good sandwich shop to advertise with us,
yeah.
Gladly frequent.
Subs and such, yeah.
If it's good, I mean.
Jordan Covey says Subway, or excuse me, Firehouse does do reward points. Well, this might change everything.
Yeah.
Well, it still doesn't change the fact that it always kills my stomach and that I'm hurting for the 20 minutes after I eat Firehouse. But it is great. Like, it is good. I got it at number three. I still like it.
Maybe you're getting the wrong sub.
No, I've tried other subs. They're not as good. The Hook and Ladder is really the only one I like there.
You wouldn't like
the meatball sub at Firehouse is trash.
Is it?
Yeah, it's so bad.
Never had it.
All right, let's get to our last break.
Home is where the heart is, but the kitchen is the heart.
Last call here on the program. Make sure to visit FoxSportsKnoxville.com, powered by 245 Tech. You want to get in touch with their SWAT team. You want to protect your business. 43% of cyber attacks are aimed at small to mid-sized businesses. 245Tech.com or give them a call at 865-465. Oh, God. What's this? Do you remember the number?
4040.
Is it the 4040? I think it is 4040. Good job by you, Benley. You saved the day. Good job by you. You read it one time and you remembered.
That's impressive.
865-465-4040. Pump the brakes or keep rolling. You want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
All right, Cody, you're up first.
Okay. Dog bites horse for interesting reason.
Sorry.
Well, it's a police horse.
Respect the game.
Okay, sorry. Connecticut man trying to sell cobras. Connecticut police have charged a man they say was trying to sell venomous snakes. State Environmental Police on Thursday charged 21-year-old Cameron DeFrancis with multiple counts of illegal possession of wild animals and reckless endangerment after finding seven live snakes in his Meridian home. A viper and several cobras, along with two dead snakes, were discovered. They probably killed the inferior snakes. State officials got a search warrant after getting a tip from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that he was selling the snakes through social media. The serpents were seized and transported to a reptile facility.
Is there any more of a contrarian than I like snakes guy?
Yeah, really.
Like, I feel like as a society, we've all come and agreed, like, hey, snakes suck. We hate snakes. Is there any bigger contrarian in society than the guy who decides, you know what, I actually like snakes?
I like snakes guy's always a total weirdo.
Like, he's definitely just doing it because everyone else hates snakes, right?
Right.
At, like, what point do you look and say, you know what, snakes aren't that bad. I mean, what can you do with them? You can feed them and watch them kill mice. Like, okay, weirdo. Have you seen the snake massage thing?
No. What is that?
Where, like, people are getting in pits or, like, getting in, like, a tub and letting snakes just get poured all over on top of them crawl on them?
No, thanks.
And it's supposed to, like, help relax you or something? I don't know.
That's going to do the opposite of relaxing. It's
supposed to help your skin or something? I don't know.
You start growing scales. That's going to be the opposite of relaxing. I'm going to go into a panic, personally.
Denver area Uber driver gets a strange tip.
Pump your brakes, kid.
He was tipped with a scratch-off ticket. Scratch-off ticket won $140,000.
Oh, my God. Oh, imagine being the guy. Oh, wow. Imagine being the guy who tipped him that.
You got to be sick, right?
Oh, you're just disgusted with yourself.
We every year at Christmas we do like the Chinese Christmas,
the dirty elephant
or whatever. Yeah, it's got like 20 names where everyone switches around. And my family always brings like $30 in lottery tickets and everyone always like wants them. No one ever wins. It would break up our family if somebody brought tickets and it won $140,000. Like it would be bad.
Oh man, that guy's got to be sick. I mean, good for the Uber driver though. I mean, good for him. He's probably Well, I don't guess $140,000 is enough to quit your job, but especially
it's enough to quit Ubering.
Well, I don't know.
People just Uber because they need some side money, or they want just a part time job. Getting $140,000 tip is enough to quit Ubering.
Some people do it full time, though.
Some people do. Some people do.
That would be a really good job. I've always wanted to try that out. I just don't really have the car for it. You know what I mean? I think Ubering would be a lot of fun.
The man was given a $5 super special ultimate bingo scratch ticket. He played the ticket and won $30, which he used to buy more scratch tickets. I kept winning these smaller amounts and just kept rolling it over and over into more tickets. After 6 weeks of ticket scratching, he picked up the top prize winning scratch ticket from a store. That makes it a little different. It wasn't just the one ticket won $140,000. It's just he won 30 and then kept buying it. That's a little bit different. I shouldn't have read that part.
Yeah, should have just left it at the initial 140.
Yeah, the story was a lot cooler until I actually read the story.
Still, yeah, he, you know.
He won $30. I'd still be mad if I tipped an Uber driver $30, maybe.
He went and seized the opportunity, yeah, though.
At that point, he's literally just playing the lottery.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, okay. Ruin the story.
Do you know today is a National Day of Silence?